So we're here still on your test on it. By the end of this morning, we'll. Oh, here's Jerry. Here's the mark for Jerry. How are you today, Jerry? Good to see you. Come, we have a seat for you here. I should bring you another chair. Okay. So let's just remind ourselves of what we've been discussing. We had two different approaches, two different limudim to include Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Actually, the Gemara says Yud Gimel doesn't need a special limud because it's Yom HaKnisa, Yom Kihil HaKol, I should say. And we need a pasuk for Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. And the Gemara offers two opinions on this question. According to the opinion of Rav Shaman, we're going to derive the halacha of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel from the pasuk Bizmanehem. Whereas according to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, we're going to derive it from the pasuk Kayamim, the extra chaf. And we suggested an afkamina between the two as to whether Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel are tashlumin or that becomes the ikar chiyuv. And that could be an afkamina. Let's say a ben kfar finds himself in a city on Yudalit. In other words, he already read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa, and now he finds himself in a city on Yudalit. And the question is, does he have to read a second time? If his reading on Yom HaKnisa, on Yudalit, Yud Beis, Gimel was only what? Only Tashlumin, then it makes sense that now he's shaykh to the Iker Chiyuv. He should read it a second time, and that's Rashi Shita on Daf Yutes. But if on the other hand, we would argue that Bizmaneim, that each day of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel is an Iker Chiyuv, so then he already fulfilled his Chiyuv on the Yom HaKnisa, there's no point to having him read the Megillah a second time on the 14th. And that's going to be the Shita of Tosus on Daf Yutes Omen Aleph. Okay, so now we're up to the third of the wide lines. When I say the wide lines, you'll see that the third of the wide lines start with the word ksiv, which is 1, 2, 3, with the word omar, right? But we're not going to start with omar, we're going to zip across that line till the second omar. Actually, it's the third omar on the line. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So let's make sure that everybody has the place. You have Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. Now, until this point, we're at a certain critical crossroads in the sugya, because until this point, there was never a question on the viability of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel for the Bnei Akfarim. That wasn't even an issue. The Mishnah itself says, Megillah Nikreis, the Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So that wasn't an issue. But we're at a crossroads because from this point and on, we might even have an opinion that will completely reject the possibility of adding any days whatsoever. And we're left with Yudalit and Tesvam, and that's it. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rab Yochanan. So we're going back to Rab Yochanan now. And Rab Yochanan says the following. If we can get one more chair, or you can sit here. Just move over a little bit here.
We'll squeeze.
Yeah. It's not even a squeeze. Amosai. Remember we discussed that the Chachamim were Mekil on behalf of the Bnei Akfarim, allowing them to read before Yudalit. Amosai. Under what circumstances, and perhaps we can even say in what historical period, did the Chachamim allow this license to read on Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Bizman Shashanim Kitiknam. Now what this means is, as Rashi explains, is that before the Churban Abayis, the Beis Din, and we're talking about the High Court of Israel, would sit in Yerushalayim, and they would sanctify the new month. And that was what's called Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah. You know, two witnesses would come, and they would testify that they saw the Levana B'chidusha. The Yisrael Shruyim Al Admasam, and the Jewish people were all located in Eretz Yisrael in such a way that as soon as they determined when the new moon was seen and when the new month is going to begin, they could send out the shluchim. If you learned a little Masechta Beitza, you'll remember this from the beginning of Masechta Beitza. What do you say? And also in Rosh Hashanah. So the shluchim reached all the areas, even the far-flung, you know, towns and villages of Eretz Yisrael in time for the people to know when to celebrate Sukkot, when to celebrate Pesach and Kol Shkein Shavuos. So everything is kitikunam, and l'chora this has no bearing whatsoever on our discussion about Purim, but let's see where the punchline is. Avol bizman hazeh, now that the second base of Migdash has been destroyed and the Jews are spread out throughout the diaspora and the Shluchei Beis Din don't reach the place which is far flung, and therefore those people have no clue when the month was chaser or mole, whether it was a 30-day month or a 29-day month, and therefore they don't know when the yontif is going to be, and that's the basis for what, Rabosai? What institution was generated by the fact that these far flung places never would know in Chutzlars when Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, that's called by its name, right? Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, because of what's called the Sveika de Yoma. Now again, what does this have to do with Purim? Hoil u'mistaklim bo, bizman hazeh hoil u'mistaklim bo. This is very interesting. The language of the Gemara is hoil u'mistaklim bo, meaning the people who live in these far out places, when they want to know exactly when Yontif is, now we're going to focus not on Sukkot, we're going to focus our attention on Pesach. And since they knew that there was no possibility that the shluchim would get there on time because they were out in, you know, they were in some Baghdad in Iraq, or they, I don't know, they were somewhere in Tunisia, wherever they were. So mistaklim ba, they had a sign, like a, in a sense, an easy way of figuring out when is Pesach. And that is because Pesach is 30 days after Purim. So they would count down from Purim 30 days. And The Gemara says, Ein Koronosa El Bismana, during this period of time, we're not going to allow for the possibility of reading the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Says Rabbi Yochanan, because if we allow this to happen, then they're going to count down 30 days from Kriyas HaMegillah. Let's say Yud Aleph is the most radical case. So their calculation will be, again, the fact that they'll start Pesach 2 or 3 days early, maybe that's not so terrible. I mean, you have to know about the mitzvah of matzah and mara and so forth. But the fact that they're going to end Pesach 3 days early, yes, that's a real problem, because then they're going to start eating chametz on Pesach, they're going to violate Issur Karis. So Rabbi Yochanan claims that in order to avoid this pitfall, we have to do away with the takana of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And the fascinating thing is that fundamentally Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there is such a thing as Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, but we cannot. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it exists, and it definitely existed and was implemented during the time of Shonim Kitikun of Yisrael Shurim Al Admasam. But today, Bizman Hazeh, after the Churban Abayis, when we have a Sveika de Yoma, and the people in the Kfarim are going to look for some sort of a sign, some sort of easy way of calculating exactly when Pesach is going to fall out. Okay, I know what you're going to ask. Let me just finish my sentence. I know exactly what you're going to ask. So then, by calculating from Yud Aleph, they're going to end up eating chametz on Pesach. Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't there a Sveika de Yoma for Purim then? I mean, if it's within the 15 day, if there'd be a suffix on the day for Pesach, aren't they? Isn't it the same problem with knowing when Purim is anyway? So how do they know when the 11th, when's the 12th? And by that logic, they'd have the same problem.
Well, your question is not so relevant to ours. Your question is relevant as a general question, meaning how do we know when Purim is? Why do we celebrate one day of Purim? Let's say if we live in the Prazim, or another day on if we live in the Krachim, why not have an extra day of Purim, Mishum Sveika D'Yoma? So I think the answer to that question is that Sveika D'Yoma, adding a second day, what we call Yom Tov Sheni, that's only for Doraisas. You know, when you have a mitzvah doraisa, whether it's matzah or chametz or chametz on Pesach, or in the case of sukkahs, you know, you're dealing with the mitzvah of sukkah, then Chazal instituted a sfeika d'yoma. But see, your kash actually, it's very sharp, because Eric's question wouldn't be relevant to Chanukah, because Chanukah is on the 25th of the month. By then they knew exactly when it was. But your question is very pressing with regard to the 14th of Adar. Maybe we should have 2 days of Purim. So I think the answer is, if I remember correctly, that under abundance, we don't have a takana of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis. Well, I thought, Eric, you can ask a different question.
There's a second, but even with that one, though, there's also the question, though, if they're counting from Purim, they would need to know when Purim is. So how do they know that if
you don't know for sure?
Well, again, you know,
unless you're saying they're just relying on the calendar.
Yeah, whatever it was, you know.
29 to 30 also.
Right, because Sveika D'Yoma really dates back to the time of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah. After Hillel HaSheni organized the calendar, what we call Kiddush HaKodesh Al Pi Cheshvan, then Sveika D'Yoma doesn't exist. But I think you can ask a different question.
Well, then there's the question of, don't they know that the 11th isn't...
How do they know that?
Because they're reading early. They're going in. Everyone else is reading. They're only doing Kriyas Megillah.
Excellent. That's what I was waiting for. This is the big cash of the Mefarshim. How could they start calculating from Kriyas Megillah when they know that 2 days later, 3 days later, they're going to observe Purim, Simchas Purim, and all the mitzvahs of Purim? In other words, we're only dealing with Megillah's Purim, with Kriyas Megillah.
The other question is that, you know, we've never had a situation where all the Jews have been in Israel and it's been Purim, because Purim the episode of Purim took place while we were in Chutz Laaretz. Not everybody returned from Babel, so there was never a situation where it's been.
So you're bothered by the language of Yisrael Shurim Al and Musam, or you're bothered conceptually?
I get the idea. The majority of Jews have lived here during my Sheni, but the whole system of communicating the Rosh Chodesh and everything was set up during the period of my Sheni. So it was never a situation where. So the premise of the question works well if all the Jews come back there to Israel right now and we lose electricity and communications and internet and all that stuff. But we've never had this. Anyways, but the question still stands. It's still a good question on a theoretical.
All right. So again, the point is just to get to Gemara, is that the fear and the chashashi was that the Bnei HaKfarim would calculate 30 days from the day of Kriyas HaMegillah. That's where the Amaratzis comes in here, the ignorance of the people, that they'll mistakenly think that automatically, once they read the Megillah, let's start calculating on the calendar 30 days, and that's going to lead to a tremendous takol. So in order to avoid that, we did away with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. So it comes out now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, again, I would just want to reemphasize this point, because it's going to come up over and over again in the sugya, that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there is such an enterprise, an institution called Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and it did actually apply during that period of time when the bias stood. Because at that particular period of time, they knew exactly when Pesach would start. But once we get into the period of time post-Churban, and the word didn't get out, so there's still a period of Sveika D'Yoma, now the chashash was that the Bnei HaKfarim would start calculating the 30 days of Pesach and observe Pesach earlier, and therefore terminate Pesach too early. So that leads us up to Meisvei. Meisvei, we're going to have... Now, this is a very interesting structure in the Gemara. You know, in terms of Talmudic methodology, what the Gemara is going to do now is the Gemara is going to quote a Tana. And this Tana is going to contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Now it's very interesting, because usually when you ask a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from either the Mishnah or the Braisa, it's not from one particular Tana; it's from the Shitas Chachamim. But right now, all we have is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So let's see what Rabbi Yehuda says. This is the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Emasai. At what period of time will we make ill for Yad Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel on behalf of the Bnei Akfar? Bizman Shashonim Kitiknam. When Bezdin stood and they were established in Yerushalayim and they were Mekadesh Alpi Re'iyah V'Yisrael Shruyim Al Admasam. So far this sounds exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. We don't know what the Mesve is here. Then it says, Avol Bizman Azeh, again, which means that after the Churban HaBayis, the second Bayis, and the Jews are spread out, and the Shluchim didn't reach all the places, the far-flung places, Holo Mistaklim Ba, Ein Korin Osa, Ela Bizmana. We will only read it on Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. So now the question is, at this point, if I would take a deep breath and ask you, what's the Mesve? I would have said, on the contrary, Tana de Messiah. Maybe there should be a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Why is this a Mesve? So for that, we have to read the next piece of Gemara. In other words, the Kasha of the Gemara is now being spelled out. At this point, you can press the return button. It's a new paragraph. The Gemara analyzes in the following way. Rabbi Yehuda Aliba Deman. We have to work out Rabbi Yehuda according to one. You know what? I have to apologize. I skipped a very important line in the Gemara here. Let's go back to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. That's where I started. I don't know how I managed to skip this line. So we're on the third of the white lines. Everybody have it? Oh, my Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Zo Divrei Rabbi Akiva. And we'll get to the word Sitimta in a minute. To Doris Man, Zmanom, Zmanem Aval Chachomim Omrim, Ein Korin Osa Ella Bizman. So what I read, what I explained before, the name Rabbi Yochanan is only part of the picture. So I'm sorry again, I apologize. But what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that the Chachomim completely rejected the concept of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, he's the one who has the drasha of Zmanehem.
Why is it citing Rav Shemin earlier for Zmanehem? Why not just go straight to Rabbi Akiva for Zmanehem?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni is going to do with this language of Rabbi Yochanan. But I don't know if we could. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't it in the name? Rav Shemin. Rav Shemin was in the name. Just one second. Let me just go back. Yeah, wasn't Rav Shemin in the name of Rav Yochanan? Right. So this is not a problem. This is the same Rav Yochanan that we had before.
Oh, this okay. So this is not Rav Yochanan. Okay.
Yeah. Right, so again,
why not cite Rabbi Akiva though? If he's the one who.
Oh no! Because what Rav Yochanan wants to point out is that the Chachamim never accepted Zmanehem. We've been operating with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the source for Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, the Megillah, it's Manehem. That's only according to Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. We'll see why he adds an adjective here called Stimta'a. But before we get to Stimta'a, I don't want to get, that's a whole discussion. Rashi has a long discussion about what the word Stimta'a means. But let's not get sidetracked. But what I want to emphasize here, and I'm sorry I didn't emphasize this enough before, is that Rabbi Yochanan sets up what I call either or. There's no room for what I call the middle ground here. It's either that you accept the drash of Zmanehem, that's our Mishnah reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, or the Chacham never accepted the drash of Zmanehem, and they didn't have any drasha for Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And there was never, ever a kula on behalf of the Bnei Kfarim. There are only 2 days in which you could read the Megillah. That's where we're going to see the Rabbi Yehuda, who's going to differentiate now, as I mistakenly attributed that to Rabbi Yochanan, but it's Rabbi Yehuda. He's going to make a distinction between Shonim Kitikunam and after the Churban. And after the Churban, you remember there's going to be a fear that maybe they'll start Pesach early and end early. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to be bothered because Rabbi Yehuda fits into nobody, to neither Shita. Because Rabbi Yochanan has an either-or situation. Rabbi Yochanan says it's either all or nothing. Either you hold like Rabbi Akiva, and we always have Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, with no exception whatsoever, whether it's Bizman, Shoshanim, Kitikunom, or fast, or it's after the Churban, or you hold like the Chacham who never accepted Bizmanehem and Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, you always, whether it's at the time of the Beis HaMikdash or after its Churban, you always read the Megillah on Yud Aleph and Tesvav exclusively. So the Gemara asks Meisvei, how can Rabbi Yochanan have this either or situation? It's either black or white. What's he going to do with Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says the following: Rabbi Yehuda Aliva Deman. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't fit into any pattern whatsoever. Elam, if you're going to say Aliva to Rabbi Akiva holds Afilu Bizman Azeh, even after the Churban. And Rashi points out that Rabbi Akiva lived after the Churban. Isa Lahai Takanta, he accepted that the Bnei Akfarim could read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Elalav, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Bizman Azeh, we don't allow for the reading of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, could not possibly be Rabbi Akiva. So by fallback position, Elalav, I'll leave it to Rabbanon. But the Rabbanon never had the drush of Bizmanehem. So the Rabbanon hold that even Bizman Shashanim Kitikunam, when the bayis stood, there was never a possibility, an allowance to read the Megillah on any day other than Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel. Ubizman Shashanim Kitikunam Yisrael Shriyim Alad Masam Mia Karinan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when the Migdash stood and everything was going smoothly, they allowed for the reading of the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Is Tufta, the Rabbi Yochanan, Tufta, this is against Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara assumes, that's the what I pointed out before, that the methodology here, the Gemara is very unique. The Gemara is saying that since Rabbi Yochanan offered two shitos here, he's got the shita Rabbi Akiva, and he has the shita of the Chachamim, apparently Rabbi Yochanan rejected any middle sheet, any compromise that would distinguish between Bizman Shashanim Kitikunam and Bizman Azeh. It's either all or nothing. Either it's always going to be Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, that's going to be the shita of Rabbi Akiva, or it's going to be never Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that it depends. If it's Shanim Kitikunim, then we will read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. We'll allow that to go on. If it's Liachar Churban Abayis, then we're not going to allow it. So it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't fit into any category. He's neither Rabbi Akiva, nor is he according to the Rabbanon. So you might say, well, Rabbi Yehuda is what's the word I'm looking for? We can grant him the right to have his own shita, right? But that doesn't save us from Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan indicated that it's an either or situation.
We have an unattributed Megillah that a Mishnah that has no, it doesn't say there's any machloket at all, and it just says there are the 3 days.
Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says, wait a minute, that's as far as the Mishnah is concerned.
Right.
But, you know, outside the Mishnah, we have other opinions that weren't codified because Rebbe, when he wrote the Mishnayos, when he authored the Mishnayos, he wrote what's called a Stam Mishnah, right, meaning that he wanted to indicate how we accept this. But Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell you, you should know, that the Chachamim never accepted this whole drasha, this whole enterprise of Bizmanehem of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel.
And yet, somehow it got accepted because this became the...
Correct. And that's the word stimta over here. Do you see that word stimta? Mm-hmm. So Rashi, you'll see, you know, Rashi in this particular daf, because there are no tosas in, Rashi wraps around to the left side as well. So if you drop down about 15 lines on the left side, maybe 20 lines, I don't know exactly, you'll see a Rashi stimta. So Rashi gives two interpretations of what the word stimta means. Okay, so for the first interpretation is he's limiting himself to the Mishnah. Now, it's this description of Rabbi Akiva, this adjective describing Rabbi Akiva, is this appellation, if you could use that word, right, is Harbe Stam Mishnah. There are many Mishnayos which only reflect one, as if to say everybody agrees. That's called the Stam Mishnah. How did you call it, Eric? You said it's unanimous, or what was it? Unattributed? Was that the unattributed? Okay, I like that. Okay. See, you don't realize this, Eric, but for me, because of my training, every time I translate something into English, it's an extra effort. Not because English is not my first language. English is my first language, But
it's the other way for me. I came to this late.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Eric. So that's why I appreciate when you give me that word unattributed. You know, like in a million years, I would never come up with that word. You know, to me, it's a star mission. That's the way I was trained. You know? But I like that. I like that. Unattributed. Yeah. Right? So
vocabulary, English Hebrew vocabulary.
Right, right. That's
you don't have the vocabulary in limits, but it doesn't mean you don't understand what you're talking.
Even my translation here is fixed in the Hebrew. He says the following: Harbe Stam Mishnah saw some Rebbe Shehem Divrei Rebbe Akiva. So when Rebbe writes a Stam Mishnah, it's a Liba de Rebbe Akiva. Okay. So whenever you see a Stam, so you know sometimes you get the mistaken impression that if no other Tana is mentioned by name or the very fact that no other Tana is mentioned at all in the Mishnah, just the halacha is presented, you think there was never an issue about it. No, no, no. That's not what it means. It means that the Mishnah was reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Akiva.
I think Stam Mishnah was...
Well, there are many, many rules about Stam Mishnayis, but you have to keep in mind that Rabbi Meir is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So if you use the phrase Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir or any of the like, we'll see in the next Yeshiva Farshat Rashi is going to give you a whole bunch of those rules. None of them contradict the principle that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva because these were all students of Rabbi Akiva. But the Yeshiva Farshat that Rashi quotes wants to go even a step further. And it's not limited to the Mishnayos. Right? We have other Tanoic literature. For example, we have a Sifra and we have a Sifri and we have a Tosefta. So the Yesh Mefarshim, this alternative interpretation, wants to take this word, this description of Rabbi Akiva, stimta, to a radical conclusion, really far-reaching. And he says, kol hastumim, anything that you find in Tanaic literature, way beyond the Mishnah, you know, now broadening your scope, it's always going to be like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because it's Talmid of Hayim. It is students of Rabbi Akiva. So even if Rabbi Akiva's name is not mentioned, or even if no name is mentioned, and you could figure out that what you're looking at in the Sifra is Rabbi Meir, or you're looking at Tosefta, it's Rabbi Nehemiah, or you're looking at a Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's all Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. So after quoting this long Yesh Mefarshim, I'm not going to go through it word for word, Rashi says he doesn't like the Yesh Mefarshim, Akasha B'Ena Lefarish came, Shematzina B'Kam B'Komos, he says that we have other rules that we find with regard to other Tanoic literature other than the Mishnah outside the purview of the Mishnah is, which are libidu various Tanoim who are not Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so he gives you a whole list of them, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi and other principles in Shas. In any event, let's get back to our sugya because this is really what I call off on the side.
But I answered my question.
Yeah. So what I want again, what we have to emphasize, and I've been reviewing this in my mind, but I just skipped a line. That's what got me messed up. So what I've been reviewing in my mind over and over again, this Gemara, the Shaka Vitari, this Sugya, is about the assumption that Rabbi Akiva did not, I'm sorry, that Rabbi Yochanan did not tolerate a middle ground Shita. Either you accept Zmanayim and you apply it straight across the board, both to Bizman Shashon Kitikunam and Bizman Azeh, and that means Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Zmanim Harbe Tikunam Kakonim, or you never accepted that drasha of Zmanayim, and there's no possibility of reading the Megillah other than Yud Dalet and Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet and Tetzvah. Comes along the Gemara and quotes a brisa of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, again, this is not a kashya on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda could have his own shita. He doesn't have to fit into the pattern of Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't have to accept the chachamim. He's a man to his own mind. But his shita fits into no pattern that Rabbi Yochanan envisioned. So when Rabbi Yochanan depicted the possibilities, he only had two possibilities. There was no compromise sheet to say, well, it all depends on what historical period you're on. Yeah, if you're talking before Korban HaBayis, then we'll accept your Alfie Basin Gil. If you're talking after the Korban HaBayis, then there's no such thing as your Alfie Basin Gil. So that's what Yehuda leave it to mind. And again, this is all a cash on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't you recognize a middle of the road sheet? And that's the sheet of who? Of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Elam, if you're going to say, I'll leave the Rabbi Akiva held that even Bizman Azeh, Isalai Takanto, they established the possibilities of reading the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Again, Rabbi Akiva is after the Churban, and the Jews are spread out and living in the diaspora. Nevertheless, the B'nai Kfar are allowed to read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Now, I just want to mention in the Turi Evan, who wrote a magnum opus on Moab, and he's more famous for his other work, which is called the Shagas Sadia. He's bothered by this Gemara. He says, maybe Rabbi Akiva was making a statement about the time that the Beis HaMikdash stood. And Rabbi Akiva's telling us that at the time that the Beis HaMikdash stood, they allowed to read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. But Enoch Inami, after the Churban, Rabbi Akiva would agree that we have this problem that they'll lead to a mistake about Pesach, and therefore they did away with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So the Turi Evan says that's very difficult to assume that Rabbi Akiva was telling us about a minhag that was in place earlier in history. He's talking to his people. He lives after the Churban. He's telling them Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And Rebbe is codifying our Mishnah, reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Akiva Stimta, meaning Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. So this applies even after the Churban. So then Rabbi Yehudu says that after the Churban there's no Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. He can't fit into the pattern of Rabbi Akiva. El Alav, Aliva de Rabbanah. Then by process of elimination, we have to assume that Rabbi Yehuda was a little bit earlier. He was during the time of the bias, so he was talking. So now we have to assume that Rabbi Yehuda fits into the sheet of the Rabbanah. But that can't work out either, because the way Rabbi Yochanan formulated the sheet of the Chachamim never accepted the possibility of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. They simply rejected Bizmanayim. The whole drasha, the whole enterprise of these 3 days is completely out. So Bizman Shashanim Kitikunam Yisrael Shuim Al Manasam Via Karinon. Certainly Rabbi Yehuda accepts that back at the time of Beis HaMikdash, when he lived, they read the Megillah B'nai Kfar on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. That doesn't fit into the Sheet of the Chachamim, the way Rabbi Yochanan formulated that that the Rabbanah never accepted Bizman Meyen. Is Tiyufta the Rabbi Yochanan Tiyufta? The Gemara leaves that as an unanswered question. However, the Gemara now backpedals a little and offers a different version of Rabbi Yochanan. Ika di Amri, there was another version, another transmission of Rabbi Yochanan. Omer Abba Bar Chonam Rabbi Yochanan. Zo Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta. It was Rabbi Akiva who held that even Bizman Azeh, after the Churban, we could still allow the B'nai HaKfarim to read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Aval Chachamim Amru, the Chachamim hold that Bizman Azeh Hol Mistaklim Ba Ein Karnos El Bizmana. So now we have a whole shift here, because now the Chachamim are only talking about Bizman Azeh. So the Chachamim fundamentally accepted Bizmanayim. However, because of the problem that would arise after the Churban, they did away with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Well, now it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda reflects the Sheet of the Chachamim. So that's according to the Ika D'Amri, the second Lashon. So again, if you accept the first transmission of Rabbi Yochanan, the first formulation, then we're in deep trouble. Because then Rabbi Yehuda can't work out in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference, neither like Rabbi Akiva, nor like the Chachamim. But if you accept the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Chachamim were only making a comment about Bizman Azeh, again, that has tremendous halachic repercussions, but nevertheless, it means that fundamentally the Chachamim also accepted Bizmanayim of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. It's just that now there's a chashash of counting Shloshim Yom after the Yom HaMegillah, Kriyas HaMegillah, and therefore ending Pesach early. Therefore, in Korin Bo El Bizmano. So then Rabbi Yehuda fits in beautifully with the Sheet of the Chachamim. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to quote a brisa that would support this approach. Tanya Nami Hachu, we have a brisa that goes with this approach. Om Rabbi Yehuda Emosai, when do we read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? Let's dafka Bizman Shashonim Kitikonam Yisrael Shurim al Admosam. Avol Bizman Hazeh Hol Mistaklim Ba Ein Karin Osa Ela Bizman. So wait a minute, what is the more adding over here? Just give me a minute here. What is this Tanya Namihochi adding here? Just 1 second. We had already Rabbi Yod, Rabbi Yud says, Emasai Bizman Shashanam Kitikuno. Tanya Namihochi, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai Bizman Shashanam Kitikuno. Oh, I understand. You know, like this Tanya Namihochi is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting the Chachamim Shita. What do I mean? Rabbi Akiva, if you recall, was of the opinion that you could read the Megillah, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, even Bizman Hazeh. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he's now voicing, he's expressing the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim say, Emasai, when do I agree with you, Rabbi Akiva? We agree with you when it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But afterwards, Bizman Hazeh, we disagree with you, and we do away with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So this Tanya Namihochi is pointing out that Rabbi Yehuda was expressing the Shita of the Chachamim because he was adding his comment onto the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And he's saying, Rabbi Akiva, yes, we accept Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel fundamentally, but now Bizman Hazeh that we have a chashash of getting messed up with Chometz on Pesach, therefore we're going to do away with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and that's the Shita of the Chachamim. So Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are identical. Now the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Kashale, the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda. Rav Ashi had a contradiction between two statements of Rav Yehuda. Here we're going to turn to Daf Beis, Omid Beis. And as a result of this pressure, of this contradiction, Mukim la Lebraisa ki Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. He's going to change the text of the Braisa, and he's going to say there's a mistake here in the transmission, and it's not Rav Yehuda, but rather it's Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. And now the Gemara is going to clarify exactly what the contradiction that Rav Ashi found. So here's Rav Ashi's question. Me, I'm Rav Yehuda. Is it really true that Rav Yehuda makes this distinction between the time of the Beis HaMikdash and Bizman Hazeh, that Bizman Hazeh hol mistaklim ba ein karin osa ela bizman? Did Rav Yehuda actually accept this opinion that we saw earlier in the Braisa, that Bizman Hazeh we have to do away with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? Ramini, I'll ask you a contradiction. I'm Rav Yehuda, have another Braisa. Emasai, when is the Megillah read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? And we anticipate that the answer would be, it depends whether it's during the time of the Bayis or it's after the Churban. No. He's making a statement, an absolute statement, that has nothing to do with historical periods of time. But it has to do with Makomos. He says, B'makom, he says, Shenichnosim B'sheni B'chamishi. If you recall, we mentioned that on Mondays and Thursdays, the Bezdin used to sit what we call bekvius in a permanent way. And he says that there were places where, in fact, that was the case. And on Mondays and Thursdays in the big cities, Bezdin was kavua ben koma. There was a set Bezdin. And therefore, it makes sense that on those days of Monday and Thursday, we would allow for the B'nai HaKfarim to read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Avol b'makom she'ein nichnasim B'sheni b'chamishi, if Bezdin doesn't have a specific day. I don't know, Rabose, have you gentlemen ever learned the beginning of Masechta Ksuvos?
No.
The Mishnah at the beginning of Ksuvos wants to know on what day of the week a woman who's never been married before should get married, so that if he has a claim against her because he suspects her of some sort of adulterous relationship, he should be able to go the very next morning into Bezdin. Right. So right there, the Gemara wants to know, is there a special day of the week when Bezdin used to sit? On Mondays, on Thursdays, the Gemara says there were different places. In certain places, the Bezdin would only convene on Mondays and Thursdays. But then there were other cities which were so large and they wanted to facilitate a Bezdin on every single day. So there was no set day, and then a woman could get married any day of the week. Now here also, the Gemara is making a similar distinction. Rabbi Yehuda is claiming that, yeah, we accept the enterprise of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, but only if in that particular area the villagers would actually come in on Mondays and Thursdays, because those were the set days when Bezdin was kavua. But b'makom she'ein nichnasim, the she'ein b'chamishi, in places where there was no Bezdin kavua, How would you say kavu in English?
Established.
But permanently established on those 2 days. And they, now any day of the week was good for, you know, you can convene a court case any day of the week. Ein karno sa el bismana. Then you have to read it on Yudalit and Tesvav. There's no reason to assume that Yudalit, Yudbeis, Yudgimel is going to help facilitate the Bnei Akfarim. You're doing nothing for the Bnei Akfarim. They're not going to come in on Mondays and Thursdays. Oh, so the Gemara is Medayik now. And here again, I would press the return button. Makom shenichnasim b'shem b'chamisha b'yakarina b'afil b'zman hazeh. Rav Yehuda makes no qualification. The assumption is that when he says that if there's a basin kavu on shem b'chamisha, then they read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa, which is Yeralfi Beisi Gimel, afil b'zman hazeh. He doesn't make any distinction whatsoever between the time of the Migdash and after the Migdash. So we've seen that Rav Yehuda is now assuming that even Bizman HaZeh we will allow for the reading of Yudal from Beis Yudgimel if the condition is met that there's a Bezim Kavu and there's Yom HaKnisa. So that's against the original Brisa that we quoted, where Rav Yehuda made the distinction between Bizman HaMikdash and Bizman HaZeh. So Rav Ashi was so hard pressed by this contradiction that he changed the Girsa. And he said, Umukin Lala Brisa Ki Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. We go back to the original Brisa, which made a distinction between the time of the Mikdash and Bizman HaZeh. We have to assume that's not Rav Yehuda. That mistakenly it was quoted in the name of Rav Yehuda, but it's really Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara is very upset about this. The Gemara says, "When Yishum the Kashalei Rav Yehuda Rav Yehuda, you have a Kasha. Is Mukim Leila Brisa Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda? You now substitute a name, and you cross out Rabbi Yehuda's name, and then you write instead of that doesn't make any sense. So you know, one of the great commentaries on Moed is on Seder Moed is the Sfas Emes. You know, Sfas Emes was a great Hasidic Rav, but he was also a great Talmud Chacham, incredible genius. And the Sfas Emes says, I don't understand why is the Gemara up in arms here? We find it all over the place that when the Gemara has a stira, the Gemara revamps the Girsa and says, no, you got the wrong time over here. Well, why is the Gemara so up in arms over here? So the Sfasenus points out that when do we say that we're going to change the Girsa and we're going to substitute another name for this name? That's only to the less greater when there's no choice. But here, it's very easy to give an answer. Why? Because it could be that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was only telling you Rabbi Akiva's position. Right? I made one mistake. I told you that that this statement here, Amosai, right, or Mini, Amosai is a Bryce. I may have made a mistake and said it's Bryce. It's actually a Mishnah. So there was a theory between the Mishnah and the Bryce, so that's why Rav Ashi. Well, no, the first one is definitely a Bryce. So, but this one here, Amosai, which is how many lines down from the top? It's 4 lines down from the top. You know, that's a Mishnah later on. That's a Mishnah on Daf
Hey.
On Daf Hey. So if you open up the Daf Hey, when you have a chance, you'll see that Mishnah. So the Sfasemus points out that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah might be reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't mean that Rabbi Yehuda himself is committed to that sheet. So the Rabbi Yehuda and our Brisa that we spent a lot of time on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, who distinguishes between the two historical periods before the Korban and after, that's Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Amosai, he's interpreting Rabbi Akiva's Shita that even Bizman HaZeh we allow for Yudal for Beis Yudgimel, and he points out that you have to qualify that it's only because it's the Yom HaKnisa, because of the Beis Yudgimel. So therefore the Sfasemus says that's what bothers the Gemara. Yishum the Kashalei, Rabbi Yehuda, Mukim Leila Braisa, Kirab Yosi. And the Gemara answers, and here we conclude for today, Rav Ashi, Shmiel the Ika the Tani Laker of Yehuda, the Ika the Tani Laker of Yosi, Rav Yehuda. Rav Ashi historically actually heard 2 different versions of this Braisa. He heard one version of the Braisa in the name attributing it to Rav Yehuda, and another version attributing it to Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. So now he wanted to make a decision which of these 2 versions is the correct version. Mishum The Akashale, the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda. Now he has a contradiction between two statements of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda the Brisa, Rav Yehuda the Mishnah. Is Omar, therefore Rav Ashi answers, Mind the Tani Lake Rav Yehuda, Lav Dafka. No, it's Lodiyek Bidvar. For the one who quoted Rav Yehuda the Brisa, he wasn't very meticulous about it. And it really wasn't Rav Yehuda, but rather Mind the Tani Lake Kirav Yossi Rav Yehuda Dafka, that's more Meduyek. In other words, he decided which verse is correct based on the fact that he wanted to reconcile this country. Okay, Rav Yossi? So let's make a note that we're up to the two now. Okay, Krochim Amul Kofim. Everyone should have a great day.